Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
Happy birthday, Connor.
Thank you.
It's not actually your birthday the day this comes out, but...
What, really?
Boys, it was a week ago.
Okay. Go share my reels. Thank you for saying that. Just get share my reels on your thing.
Of course.
For my birthday, I don't want an engagement. I want engagement. In general. And ain't that beautiful?
Not a ring, but a ring of stories.
Yes, please. Yes, please. And then people still out there sharing things that are like, or just like pictures. And I'm like, did you
see the requirements?
I want content.
Did you see the rubric?
Yeah. So, but it is my birthday. It's been totally fine. I'm not really a big birthday guy because everyone has one. So
sure.
It doesn't feel special.
How do you feel though? You feel good?
Yes.
Do you feel loved on your birthday?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Do I seem bad?
No, you don't seem bad at all.
It's crazy to be like kind of just like posting a video about sides and then your grandmom texts you. And she says, it's a gorgeous sunny day. I look outside, it was the grayest I've ever seen. I was like, someone check on grandma.
She has late in life colorblindness.
I was like, is Philly that different?
Well, it's beautiful now.
Yeah, so maybe she's just actually a seer.
Okay, this tree now. This tree came in.
Were you the one that was saying that I'm going to have beautiful leaves out there?
I did say that.
Oh my God.
And look at that. You have leaves on this tree now. That is...
Wait, I didn't even notice it.
I got to say.
I never noticed.
I don't know. So I, you know, I've said in the past... There's no bad time to start an SSRI.
A podcast. Go on.
Those are interchangeable.
Are you out as doing SSRIs on the podcast?
I am out as doing SSRIs on the podcast.
I try to shame you into lying about it.
I started Lexapro a while ago, but I've gone on record, I guess off record, but we've talked about this, where it's like you could start, you know, sometimes I think the hesitation with starting SSRIs is like, I don't know if I want to start them right now. Like, where am I at in my life? Like, what? I don't want to feel bad right now. Like, I don't want to feel like the, you know, kind of fuzzy area where you get through to the part where it feels like more stable, just because it can mess with your system for a bit.
Did it?
Honestly, not that bad. I know everybody has different reactions to it. I had like 3 days where I felt kind of weird, and then I've been feeling like a little bit more tired recently, but not so bad. It's also like I've been busy and traveling, so I don't know if that's part of it too. But my point being, I did accidentally make the mistake of starting them kind of right at the edge of winter and spring. So like it's been the amount of time ish that like we should be seeing results and that I feel better, but also it's beautiful outside. So it's like, who's to say who's the fault of that? So I guess we won't know until it gets cold again if I'm depressed.
Be on them. Don't be on them. Be on the middle. I actually should be on them. I actually want to be on them. There's no day like today on your... You know what? We'll say our age, my age one time, then we'll never bring it up again.
Okay.
I'm 30. Cut it.
Cut it.
Leave it. I'm 30. No, I'm 30. And is it hard to be 30? No. It's not hard. My mom, she got her driver's license at 30. Yeah, she had a JD before she had her driver's license.
Good for her.
And two kids.
Wow.
Two gay kids.
Who was driving her to work?
I don't know. Well, my dad at times. So. But it's fine. Like, I almost died when I was a lot younger, so it's just, like, fine to be... I never thought I would make it to this far, I guess.
Yeah. Did you really? Feel like you wouldn't make it this far?
I don't think I... Oh, well, I know the answer to that. I never knew what to envision as an adult.
Yeah.
That took me a really long time. That's why, like... And I remember being, like, I really... Okay, ugh, sorry, eating disorder. I literally was at this point where I was, like, you have to... I could not eat, and I literally was going to die if I didn't eat. Like, I was, like... pounds.
Yeah.
Sorry. But like it was bad.
Yeah.
And I like I can't even describe it.
Yeah.
It was like a type of thing where I was like, oh my, and I remember being like, well, I don't know what we're going to do with this.
How old were you?
17, 16.
Yeah.
16, 17. That was kind of a rough time.
Yeah. There was musicals to be done.
Yeah. Have you seen, I don't know. I was like method acting. Les Mis is a beggar. You know what I mean? Some of those girls didn't
you
want
said
it.
This
enough.
Is for the role.
Some of those people. I'll show you pictures. They're kind of jarring. But like,
yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't really know what's going on with this. And then with the booze, I like literally couldn't stop drinking before. I couldn't go to bed without drinking.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
Yeah.
Situation. So like, I drank a bottle of cough syrup because my parents was living at home and they took all the alcohol.
Yeah.
So I drank cough syrup. Couldn't come for a week. Couldn't come. Might not be fertile. Like the real victim, the future.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that though. I mean, I don't think I had as tumultuous of a teenage time, but like I definitely remember.
You bullied me.
I bullied you.
Yeah.
From
you're my bullies.
From multiple states away. Yeah. No, I
love that you pick states, not years. That's generous. You're being generous.
On your birthday, I would never. I met you like around your birthday a couple years ago.
How'd you know I was like talking about it?
Yeah, because you said you were not going to wear shorts anymore. And every year, right now you've got shorts on.
Every year I'm like, don't do kissy face, wear normal clothes, don't.
Never change.
Here's the thing. Oh my gosh.
Never change.
I think it's so cool to see a guy that's older wearing a sleeveless shirt on the train, but I do not think that really. Like, so I'm always kind of like, when am I going to start wearing sleeveless shirts? Like,
I mean, you still look young. Because you are.
See, you're being nice. No, like, an age is beautiful. We're lucky to age. And I just think in this world where, like, nothing is certain, I think that part of what we're doing right now, the reason that we're able to in some ways do it is that we've kind of released ourselves from this expectation that life needs to be a certain way. And I think I tie part of that to, like, I don't know, being an alcoholic and an anno. So, like, sorry. And so that's, like, so I'm grateful for those things. And now I'm 30.
Yeah.
I'll never bring them up again.
Well,
we hit the ground running.
We did hit the ground running. I mean, to be fair, we were already in the midst of a conversation before we hit record. But I don't know. I feel the same. I think that happens for a lot of queer kids that, like, you just have no idea what your life could possibly look like because such a big part of it is such a question mark. And I definitely remember not, especially as a little kid, not knowing what to think about being an adult or, like, being a big kid. And then when I did picture it, it was, like, as a boy, but I didn't really, like, it was almost like I was in this, like, weird dream space always, but it was, like, kind of disconnected from my reality.
And did it feel like this thing that you knew you needed to, like, hurdle over, but you could not visualize, and maybe even, like, but it was, like, clearly a thing that was, like, well, this needs to get addressed.
Well, it was, like, it felt like it was, like, you're a train going forward, but with no sense of, like, how to, I don't know, where you're going. Or, like, how to course correct. Other than, like, then I think one of the ways I, like, controlled that was getting really into soccer and being like, okay, well, I'm going to get really good at this so that I can, like, do this for a lot longer and, like, prolong this and, like, play this game for longer. And then maybe I could just do that forever. And, like, that was part of, I think, the reason I wanted. I mean, I love playing, too, and I, like, you know, I'm competitive, so, like, there's that, too. But, like, I think a lot of the reason I wanted to play in college was just to, like, prolong this comfort that I had.
Yeah. Oh, acting.
Yeah.
Totally. We were going to be professional athletes and an actor. And right now we're moms.
We're podcasters.
I always think about podcasting, and what no one says about podcasting is that it's an incredibly mindful activity.
It is.
We're not on our phones when we podcast.
No, we're just sitting here talking.
Having conversations, making eye contact.
Yes. Being real in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being real, being true. Those tulips are alive.
I didn't even know they were tulips.
I love tulips
so
much.
That's how dead they are. I'll get you some for your birthday.
No. You got me so much for my birthday.
Come on. I got you two things. I got you Tootsie Pops and a movie ticket.
$30. Those Tootsie Pops, you pay a lot to not have the red ones in there.
I know you like the chocolate. I got you the exact ones you like.
Isn't it funny that they're like, if we got, like, you pay the most to have it removed.
I almost got you, well, there was a couple. There was a double package that was caramel. A bag of just caramel and a bag of just chocolate, but I didn't know if you liked the caramel, so I just went with the chocolate.
Fascinating.
And then they also have blue raspberry or blueberry or something. The blue ones.
Yeah.
But I've never seen you with those, so I didn't want to, like.
Vanilla strawberries one.
You like that?
That one's white. Do they have that one?
I didn't see it.
That was, like, kind of an old, like, and they used to have banana. I'm, like, a longtime fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't really know about banana flavored candies, except for banana Laffy Taffy. I do like those.
Wait. Okay. I love banana. Banana Laffy Taffy reminds me of when I was in summer camp, and we used to have just, like, but my bag, we had these, like, actually interesting, it was like Space Jam backpacks.
Sure.
Because my parents didn't read a room, and we had these, and I just remember there was this, like, melted candy at the bottom, because, like, a Laffy Taffy, put it in your bag, leave it in the sun, you have got a mess on your hands. And it was just, like, Laffy, but I would still try to eat it. It was just like.
And you're, like, pulling it out of it's, like, stuck to the paper.
And you're just like.
Yes.
You're eating it like ribs. You're
like a rack of ribs, just juice falling out of your mouth. That I don't know if that's from the sun or your mouth. Yeah, it's gross.
And you're like, no, I know adversity at three. This is it right now.
Oh my God. I haven't seen a Laffy Taffy in ages.
I love Laffy Taffys.
Those are good.
I love strawberry ones and I love banana ones. And those are the only flavors I like.
Do they
cherry.
They have green apple?
They have green apple. Yeah,
those are good. Those are good.
Way more than I thought I did about Laffy
You know
Taffy's.
What the best snack I have these days?
What?
It's not a snack, but like a dessert kind of thing. Well, I guess it's whatever you want it to be. Trader Joe's makes these amazing three flavor popsicles. Boys, if you have a Trader Joe's in your town, go get these, okay? Strawberry, raspberry, lemon. They're perfect.
I just love the way you said in your town.
We're reaching like FM radio towns, okay?
Wait, we actually are. Do you know that from the studies?
From the studies.
Because someone messaged me and they're like, listening to you as I drive across rural America. So if that's you out there, sending love and light. Thank you.
Somebody responded to my...
And I was worried that we're going to be too urban. So I just want to say we love the not urban parts.
Somebody came to my... Somebody got on my mailing list and said, come to Nebraska. So... If 50 more of you say that, then maybe I will come. Yeah.
If 25 of you in a relationship say that. If it's an open relationship, you only need 15.
Yeah, seriously. Are there any thruples out there listening to us?
Wait, go to Nebraska and explain thruple to them.
We finished Couple to Thruple together the other day. You were there for the finale.
Yes.
It did. Boys, I can't recommend the show enough to you because of what they did with the last 10 seconds of that show. Because instead of doing a get together, what do they call those? Postmortem.
It was a postmortem, but isn't it like a where are they now kind of?
Yeah, but
vibe.
What do they call that?
An RIP to everything.
No, what's the little get together afterwards called?
A reunion.
A reunion. Thank you, good Lord. Sorry for everybody. Our brains are all over the place.
Wouldn't it be a bummer to go on that show and then you think there's a reunion? You get a text like, "Hey, we're not doing a reunion."
Actually, no reunion. Honestly. Maybe for the best.
I mean, for Queer Ultimatum, that girl got a nose job for the reunion.
True. That was a real... I hope they come up with another season of that, because that was a real blast last year. But, okay, so Couple to Thruple, they end... The last thing that they do is they, like, decide if they're going to stay with their thruple or if they're going to part. And everybody gets to, like, have these discussions among, like, the three that they're with. And then... They end with this, like, dance party of them, like, all the couples that stay together, like, dancing together, interspersed with... pictures of them from the real world, like, after the fact, and these, like, messages that are, like, I can't tell if the people wrote them themselves, like, the contestants.
They felt editorialized,
by the producers. Charged, like, they have charged such a tone to them, but it'll be, like, so-and-so is living her best life and not taking shade from anyone anymore, and yes. It's, like, okay, there's so much subtext to this.
Wait, should we spoil the show or no?
I won't spoil it if anybody wants to watch, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Get there. Get in there. Peacock. Connor is not...
If anyone wants me to be in their thruple, I will.
Would you rather be the couple that gets a third or the third that enters a couple, you think? And yeah, it's binary.
Well, it is binary. I think... Okay, so if I was in the couple, I just feel like I would be left out. Like, sure. I'd be like,
if you were in the couple.
Like, one time that guy was like, we should do a third. And I was like, I'm actually an alcoholic and I'm sober and you're drunk right now. And this feels crazy. And oh my God. I'm the victim in that situation.
I agree.
Can you believe what I've survived in this world?
Listen, and I've said this before. I'll say it again. You are scrappy. I'm not worried about you.
It's kind of like alcoholism, eating disorder, Fire Island, Sip and Twirl are like the big three.
Sure.
And I just feel like I'd be like the kind of like chill one in the relationship that's like, oh, we have to do this because I'm a cuck. And then there's like a new guy around and I would never be so excited about it. And then if I was the other one, I feel like I'd be like kind of, I think I'd feel freer to be the third, but I wouldn't see it as the end game. It'd be nice to be enchanting. The third's the enchanting one.
Sure.
But I would never fully trust because I'm entering a situation of like if we brought a third podcaster in.
They would have to catch up on...
And every time you made eye contact with them, I'd feel really weird. I'd be like, stop that. Stop that right now.
Okay, well,
what would you want to be?
I think I also would want to be the third person. It's hard with the thruple because, like, if I was going to be in a, like, three-person, like, romantic rendezvous, a three-way, if you will.
From two to rendezvous.
Our show.
That's the Netflix version.
From two to rendezvous, literally. Okay.
And that one's a little more open-ended in how many people can be involved.
Yeah, you determine what a rendezvous is. No, okay. So if it was just like a sexual encounter, I think I would want it to be like maybe two people, maybe a couple, but maybe just like two people. Maybe we all don't know each other and it's like we're all coming in fresh. But if it was like a real thruple, I don't know, because on the one hand, I feel like it would be nice to feel like I was in the sort of bedrock relationship and was like making that choice with my primary partner to like seek out a third person.
Yes.
But also if,
the way you called it bedrock, it's like, okay, healthy relationship.
But also, if you're on the other
like
side,
coming in fresh is funny because you're like, bonjour. Like, I know nothing about you.
It's like, and behind door number five, we have Connor Janda.
Bonjour. How is he cut? Brag. Sorry, I just out of myself was cut on the pod. That felt really empowering. Oh my God. Wait, I might have to sign for this package.
Oh my gosh. Get after it.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Happy birthday.
Oh, jeez.
I'll vamp. Okay. All right. So I'm going to vamp while Connor signs for a package. Anybody who's listening right now, this episode comes out. Yeah. I'll be in LA this weekend. I'll be in LA. I'm doing a show on November, Jesus Christ. I'm doing it on May 11th. See, the reason I said that is because 11 is the 11th month, and that's why I thought November. But anyway, derailing. May 11th, the Elysian Theater. I'm headlining for Netflix is a Joke Festival. Please come. If you know any queer people, allies, parents, friends, neighbors, really anybody who wants to come, I would love to see them at the show because Brooklyn show sold out. Austin, Texas sold out, folks. Texas, red state, sold out. So what are we doing, Los Angeles? Let's get that sold out because if it sells out, that's good for you. And more importantly, it's good for me. So, bro. Okay, Connor is coming back with excitement.
I can't say what I got because my parents, I lied to them and told them I wasn't going to get it.
Okay, he can't say what he got, but something from the birthday elf has come to his door.
This is what I asked my parents for my birthday. They asked too many questions. I said, never mind, I don't want it right now. Got it for myself.
Do you have any boys clubs for this week?
My boys club is everyone that made me feel bad in high school. No, I don't know. That's not really even anyone.
Do you want me to start?
Yes, you're so great.
Okay, my boys club for this week is Spikeball.
Wait, what is that?
Spikeball is is the little game. They have a small net on the ground, a yellow ball, and they like hit the ball down. It's kind of like volleyball, I guess, but like instead of hitting it over a net, you hit it down onto like a trampoline style sort of like mini trampoline.
Yes,
thing.
I've seen this.
I say it's a boys club because it quite literally is only ever boys I see playing.
Where? McCarran Park?
Everywhere. Everywhere I've ever seen them. But I did see them just the other day at McCarran when we were hanging out. So that's what made me think of it.
I found one of those guys on the internet.
A spikeball guy? Did you find the man that you were looking for?
Yes.
How the fuck? Grindr?
No.
How the fuck did you find him?
Hinge.
How?
So you were really close.
Just from sitting in the park?
Uh-huh. No, I just like was on and he popped up and it's like, that's the guy in the park.
Wow.
Yeah, he lives in East Williamsburg. He's 32.
Serendipitous.
He has hair on his chest, which you wouldn't know from his profile. So sometimes you got to find them in person if you want answers to
all if you want real answers. Did you pursue?
Yeah.
Did you say, hey, I saw you in the park. You're super cute.
No, that'd be too forward.
What did you say?
I just said, I just liked.
Okay.
Now I feel like a loser.
Don't feel like a loser.
No, I feel like a loser.
You like to be pursued.
Sure, yeah. I do like, I don't know. It's hard because it's like you want to be, so you want someone to be obsessed with you, but you also want them to kind of give you mixed signals and make you wonder and keep you up at night. So it's like this weird middle ground.
Now, explain that to me. Why do you want to feel uneasy?
I don't know. I worry that when someone is totally kind of like a shoe in the bag, you're like, well, I think we should be reaching higher if it's a shoe in the bag. And I think if you try to take my first offer, I
okay,
feel like...
Okay, so if somebody likes you immediately, there's something wrong with them and you should go for something else. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know. I think that, you know what it is, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think love is, it's about intimacy. It's about connection. Mm-hmm. It's about
safety.
Yes.
Comfort.
And that's probably like the big thing. What I'm saying is I'm anxious attached, avoidant. So I'm both of them.
You're anxious avoidant.
I got both. The only time I've ever gotten all the things was that one. I'm anxious and avoidant.
Yeah.
Whichever one he's not, I will be. So.
Okay.
Unless he's secure. Like you.
I don't think I'm secure. I think I'm avoidant.
That's great though.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
I will have, but if I get anxious about a problem, this is where I don't understand. Okay, so for like an attachment style, I don't know if I'm secure or avoidant, but for like just general life, when I'm anxious about something, I will avoid it. Like if there's something I don't want to deal with, a conversation I don't want to have, or
anxious is kind of like if I have if I'm seeing someone
mm-hmm.
and I really like them and I think that they are drifting, I will like become obsessed with them.
Okay.
And I'll be like, why do they not like me? I'm obsessed with them.
Sure.
And I'm not always like that. But like, but that is how that would play out.
Sure.
Avoidant is like, if they really like you and then you're like, I'm kind of like, just like, don't want to like, I'm like a little bit like anti this now.
Okay.
I don't want to put in a box. And then secure is like, you're normal, healthy, and like, you're kind of like probably going to run the world. I think you're that one.
I don't know, because I'm trying to think back to like when I like people were into me. Like I don't know. I'm just so dependent. Like sometimes, like if somebody you're into is into you, that's awesome. But if somebody you're not into is into you, that's the worst. And if somebody you're into is not into you, that also sucks.
Like, you always think vibes are vibes, and then your crush marries a woman, and you're like, okay, vibes are
listen,
not
the jury's not out on that. You know that. Know. You know that, okay? If the popped heel fits.
If you're in an open, straight marriage in Philadelphia, and we knew each other in high school, reach out to me.
Reach out, and then I know you're listening to the podcast.
Does anyone in Philadelphia even listen?
With your heel popped? For sure.
One person, my dad.
I think we got a lot of listens in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. Shout out, Philly. Going down to the shore, get a hoagie.
What if it's everyone that was mad at me? Oh my god, thank you. What if it's everyone that was mad at me in high school?
That's your boys club?
No. Everyone that's listening.
That's who's listening.
Wait, remind me what yours is. Spike ball. So we had this when I was a kid. We had like some sort of version of this that we would sort of play at the beach.
Did you have it like as a young kid? Was spike ball?
No, like middle.
I was going to say.
I don't know if it was that exact. It was called that exactly. We had like some sort of similar thing.
Because I feel like spike ball really took off in like, I don't know, when I was in high school, maybe, I feel like. Because I think around the time I was in high school and college, people were getting really into it. And by people, I do mean boys. There were always boys like on the quad playing spike ball. Wait, and it's not all that so dissimilar charming. From our last week's episode with Joe about these like cool like
Jesus
boys. It was kind of that vibe. They would like have spike ball and they would do like slack lines and they would like take their shoes off.
Wait, that's actually the hottest fucking thing I've ever outside. Heard. And in a world where a lot of guys are like, let's go do heroin. And then other guys are like, let's go protest gay.
And these those guys are the like, only three types of guys.
And then the third type of guy is a guy that's like, let's go play a beautiful game.
Yeah.
That's so charming.
I mean, it certainly can be. I think there's ways to be, I don't know. Have you ever seen a group of guys playing a game that just feels so rowdy for no reason?
Hate rowdy.
Yeah.
I'm a cat in that way.
Yeah. It depends on the situation for me. Obviously, like at a big park where there's a million people doing things, like we were at McCarran the other day, play your spike ball, do your thing.
Totally.
But I just remember there being like, I don't know, just the most, like when it becomes like a show. Wait, you know what I mean? It feels like a show.
There are so many pictures of me. I was going through photos last time I was home of me in an environment and my face is always like, and it'd be like a petting zoo.
Sure.
A party where there's a clown.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's blowing out birthday candles. Like I was very like, I don't like chaos and I still don't. I can't thrive in chaos.
Yeah.
I can only, there needs to be like a calm energy. I don't feel safe in chaos.
Yeah.
Boys playing a game probably doesn't feel safe.
Yeah, I guess not.
They should make Smash Ball or a Spike Ball. And it should have a rainbow pride thing just to show allyship.
Sure, yeah.
So when we see them, we're like, okay.
Well, Spike Ball got to be such a boys club that it became like a televised ESPN tournament.
Should we be pitching to that channel?
To ESPN?
What would we pitch to them?
We could do like what they did with Wipeout.
Yes.
Where they got two comedic commentators to be like, this guy just ate shit.
Wait, do they have that?
Yeah.
Do you remember during COVID, I'm sure I brought this up before, but do you remember during COVID when they would have comedians comment on already recorded episodes of like House Hunters?
Yeah.
Just to have something new on TV.
Just to have something on TV.
And it'd be like Natasha Leggero being like, oh, a man cave.
I love that.
God. I think that's when TV started. Not that that was a good idea for sure, but I do think that is maybe where TV went south. And then it was COVID? Like, we actually don't need to spend money at all.
COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think COVID, we'll see the remnants of that for many years to come. Decades even. Obviously,
there was something called Celebrity Watch Party where it would just be a video of celebrities watching TV.
That is so, like,
did you watch that?
Read a fucking book, people. Read a book.
Yeah.
Do anything else. Call somebody.
I'm really trying to read a book in my 30s.
I'm reading a book right now that I'm excited about.
What is it?
It's called Snuff. It's by the same guy that wrote Fight Club.
What's it about?
It is about a woman who is going for the world record for number of sex acts in a porno, and there are 600 men in this like convention center like getting ready to be participants, and it's like from the point of view of three of the participants and the woman who's running it, who's like also maybe the director.
Does she have to finish the act?
I don't know. They think that she might die in the process. I mean, imagine 600 sex acts in a day.
What genre is it?
It's like, you know, surreal, like fiction. Not surreal, I guess, is the wrong word, but it's like, you know, hyper fiction.
Why does she want to do it?
I don't know. I think that's part of what we're trying to figure out in this book. It's good. I like it so far. I like that it's
gay.
The guy, there are some gay characters. The guy who wrote it is gay. The guy who wrote Fight Club is gay.
I know. this story would be more believable if it was a gay guy.
I mean, there's a gay guy there. He's just not...
not helping.
Well, kind of. He's in line.
To screw her?
I think he needs the money.
Oh, they all get paid?
I think maybe they... I don't know. I'm
the last guy saying screw. To screw her?
You guys want a bone? You want a bang? No, the... I think part of the book is figuring out how all these like four characters, like I'm at the beginning of the book. I don't really know what they, I don't know what happens yet. So I can't tell you.
I'm like over here begging you to just Google it and tell me how it ends.
Okay. I will not. That's the difference between you and me. You want to know the answer before you get to it. And I want to find out in real time.
I don't like uncertainty.
But in the course of like reading a book or watching a show, you want to know the ending or the movie. Are you looking up the ending to movies before you even watch them?
Yeah.
Really?
I do like to know how things
like even play like when out. We saw Challengers the other day, you knew what
I did not know how that ended.
Okay,
I did not know. I actually was very stressed out during that movie.
Really, because you didn't know what was going to happen.
Tension in a really beautiful way.
It was good. We saw Challengers, the tennis movie with Zendaya and those two boys.
Ha eh. I'm gonna read one of these books, and I don't know which one it's gonna be, but I've read a lot of some of them, and then never finish. And I'm gonna really go back.
Hell yeah! Do you have any intentions for this year?
Actually, I think that all four of those right in a row, I read, started and didn't finish.
That's okay.
My 30s really are going to be the literate decade. This is the decade of literacy.
Sure.
I'm going to start by reading Out of the Wreck I Rise. And by the end of the decade, I'm going to read What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Okay.
Do you think I'll have a baby this decade?
This decade?
Okay, so no. There's this sad video of Taylor Swift saying like 10 years ago that she hopes she has a family and knows when to quit singing. And I'm like, oh no.
Well, Taylor Swift can afford probably to do both at the same time.
Yeah, I'll sure. be her surrogate in a heartbeat. I love her so much.
Oh my God, imagine being...
Who Pilot.
What?
Pilot. Rose Byrne.
Maybe a film. That feels like a story that's got to have an end right away. That won't just keep... You can't just keep giving and digging into that, I think. Mm-hmm. Wait, what was I going to say? I mean... Maybe you'll have a kid by like 39.
Yeah.
But I mean, 9 years is a long time from now.
I know. Like 9 years ago, I wasn't even sober yet.
9 years ago, you were just of age.
I was. My mom came to North Carolina for my 21st birthday and she took me to this like nice restaurant, which was like, okay. And then she, what else did we do? She like took me out to dinner and she drove me back. Cause when everyone turns 21 in college, they're like, bleh. But I was like kind of like sober. Vibe so like yeah like I was trying to get like I wasn't totally sober yet but I was like on the road there and so she like I will never forget she like came down and visited.
That's sweet.
Yeah, 9 years ago
checking in on you.
I know. Yes, I just remember her working in the car and we sat there just like on her phone checking emails.
She's trying.
I love her so. She's so crazy. She's so rude to me yesterday. I called.
She had to get one in before the day.
I know. I called her and she was like, what? And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, I'm just like busy. And she's like, well, you don't have to answer the phone. And she's like, you're mad at me? And I was like, no, you're mad at me. And then I was like, I had a dream I relapsed. And she's like, oh, so you feel weird today? If you ever want to get people on your side, be like, I had a dream something about something really sad. And then they'll like be nice to you. The weirdest part of dreams is that when they're take such elements of truth and mix it with such strange, not true. It's like.
It is such a weird thing about dreams too, where you're like, I'm at my house, but it's not your house.
I know.
What is that?
Yeah, like that there's groundedness in dreams.
Scientists, get out of the fucking atmosphere and get into the mind. I want to know more about our dreams.
And into the ocean. What's going on?
And the ocean.
What is going on?
And the ocean. Whatever the fuck's going on around there.
Remember when I was on that gay cruise?
Yeah.
I should have jumped. Sorry.
Okay, do you have a boys club for this week?
Yes, my boys club is, I actually don't.
Wait, okay, that's
are
okay.
You mad? No,
not
no.
at all.
I had it's one your job. Birthday. I had one job.
It's your birthday. You don't have to have one. Do you have any intentions for this year?
I love that if it was any other episode, you'd take out a gun and be like, get a boys club. My intentions, my boys club is like, my intentions for this year are I want to get off of Instagram.
Awesome.
For at least 3 hours a day. Like, I want to, like, be more mindful. I want to be more disciplined. And I want to work with more purpose. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus on what my goals are.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy to get distracted by shiny things. And it's, like, focus on the... Like, you got to stay on the road.
Yeah.
In the lane. And, like, head down, eye on the prize. You're on the road. Pedal to the metal. you don't need to have your foot all the way down on the gas, but it should be kind of like pretty steadily on it.
Yeah.
Stop for pee when you need to and then keep going.
Yeah, and stop for rest and for happy stuff.
So you drive by the world's largest moose, get out. You got to get out. You got to see it.
Wait, do you know what south of the border is?
Mexico.
No.
What's that? Not wrong.
You just thought I said, do you know what's south of the border? Ding, Alex, what is Mexico?
Jeopardy, they'd be like, well, Celebrity Jeopardy, they'd be like, that's right.
Celebrity Jeopardy is literally one plus one. Okay.
We already talked about this, but it's also double the length. Which is so funny.
It is double the length. It's so long.
You want less of it, but they're going to give you more.
But there's so much. Okay, wait, no. So south of the border is between the North and South Carolina borders. It's a rest stop. Are you familiar?
North and South Carolina?
It's like at the border of North and South Carolina. It must be in South Carolina because it's called south of the border.
No.
Oh my God. It's this crazy rest stop. It has billboards for hundreds of miles on either side that are like, in 50 miles, you get to see the world's tallest taco or something.
That's
like that.
That's what's there.
And it's this big rest stop that has a huge sombrero. It's like kind of like a derpy little theme park / rest stop / motel.
And there's like a Roy Rogers.
But it's all, not even, it's all themed south of the border. So it's like Mexico themed, I guess. But
and it's all good?
Well, I don't know about that. But like, I don't remember seeing anything that was like...
Us walking around any historical thing being like, is this all good? It's all good, right?
We'll have any crime solved by dinner time. No, but I don't remember anything abhorrently like racist. That being said, it was several years ago, so memory might not serve, and I also might have not been keen to be aware of these things.
That's how I feel about Cinco de Mayo. It's like, I don't know whether or not it's problematic, but I do think it's annoying. I think most of the girls that are trying to celebrate after their PR jobs, they are annoying.
It's like, just go get drinks.
Yeah.
Just go get drinks.
I never needed an excuse to get fucked up.
I mean, also support your local small business.
Yeah.
Your local Mexican-American small businesses. But anyway, it was called South. It's called South of the Border. I think it still exists. And I don't even remember why. Oh, yeah. So if you're passing south of the border, stop in. Stop in and get a shirt.
My favorite was like the Maryland House. You ever been to the Maryland House?
No.
Bro, I go fucking hard for the Maryland House.
Where is that?
Maryland. When I see the Maryland House, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Once I was like closed for renovations and I was like, oh my God, we have to come back. We got to come back.
What's there that's so exciting?
It'd be like a Roy Rogers and like a Dunkin' Donuts and like...
So you're describing a great exit. A great rest
I think
stop.
Just like anytime you're in a car with your family and you get to get out of the car, you're like, oh,
pretty amazing.
God. Okay, but my boys club I just realized was the guys in college, always the straight guys. And then sometimes it'd be like the girls that they were kind of like interviewing to screw would
Whoa.
Be, yeah, it would be usually like a two girls who were friends. And then it'd be like the guys that were kind of friends. And they'd all, like, that's kind of how that all worked. Did you ever see this? I should make a movie about this.
So like, you're saying if two guys are friends and they meet two girls who are friends, they're kind of figuring out the dynamics of who's going to hook up with
who. I felt like the straight guys in college would kind of have girls rotating.
A roster.
Yeah. And they'd be like groups of friends.
Interesting. That's dicey.
And they would go to this Mexican restaurant called, I forget what it was called, but they'd be like, we're going to X, blah, blah. And then they'd go and we're going to Philippe, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I got to know what it was called or I'm going to explode. I'm going to explode. And then they'd go and they'd have, because they had fake IDs, and they would go, we were like 18 years old, and they would go and they'd have like, one time, I went like one time, and it
huge
was just
margaritas.
Like, huge margaritas, like more food than...
Than God.
More food than God. Like The Notebook, he's got more money than, her father's got more money than God. And I forget that, but that was like absolutely a boys club.
Yeah, so I don't know about the rotation of girls, the roster, as it were, but the... There was always a Mexican restaurant off campus that people would go to that was, like, notorious for... First of all, it was massive. And sometimes you'd be in there, there'd be nobody, and other times there'd be, like, it would be filled to the brim. But it was so big, there were so many rooms, you could totally get away with a fake ID there. And people would get, like... You're right, like, they bring those... Like, when you leave New York or any big city and you go get, like, the portions are insane.
I had pasta last night, and it was, like, 10 pieces of... G-N-O-C-H-I-I.
Gnocchi.
That's right. I spelled it wrong, sorry.
And you say it back.
Gnocchi. They say it right?
Yes.
I said it to the person giving us food. I always forget if it's waiter or server. Are you
I think waiter is preferred.
Okay, I was saying it to the waiter, and she repeated it just a different way that I said it.
Maybe
I was like,
gnocchi?
I was like, kill me right now. I'm sorry. I'm humiliated.
Wow. Now, in front of your date?
Yeah.
Tough.
Now he thinks I'm illiterate.
Well, good that he knows now.
Yeah, you gotta tell him early. Get it, you don't want him thinking you're gonna be reading a book around him.
No.
Get it out of the way.
Even though that is on your list of to-do this year.
Boys, let me know what books I should read.
Okay, wait, let me think.
They say if you want to make things, you should have a call to action. Let us know what books we should read. And then I'll get it on the Amazon. But it feels weird to ask for new books when I have all these books I've never touched.
I hear that. But sometimes you need a new thing. You need something that you're excited about to like spark your interest in it. You know,
yeah.
Like I always found that I would do that too, where I would like be wanting to like read more or whatever. And then I'm starting myself off with the hardest, driest thing. That's like, I should be reading Emerson. And it's like, why?
What I'm going to say,
read
to
a
you,
book that you like, read a whodunit, read a something else.
Yeah. Don't read Emerson ever. Read an Emerson quote book, perhaps.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Emerson, no.
Do you not have any Emerson quote books? What do you have?
Are Thoreau? You want one?
No, I've just... What, who don't
Cheryl
you
have... Strayed.
Okay, well,
which,
that's...
A quote book feels like you are microdosing literacy, which I just love. It's cute.
You can also go on Goodreads and just do... Or you could just, like, type in inspiring quotes.
It is funny, just, like, what brings a person to read a quote book? Like, they had one when I was... One time when I was waiting for a haircut, and I was like, this feels cool.
That feels good.
But it's like, you go home, and you're just like, I'm going to read from this, like... What is it?
And like, how often does one sentence rock your world? I mean, I guess I'm saying one sentence to you all the time that's rocking your world.
Well, she has a line that's like, what if heroin taught me something? What if this happened? What we cannot know, blah, blah, blah. And then she has another one that's like, we cannot know what of the choices we didn't make or something. Those are like, those are the lives, those are the ghost ships that we salute from shore. The ships that didn't carry us, the ghost ships we salute from shore. And that reminds me of Sylvia Plath and the figs.
Sure.
Where it's like, you can't have all the figs. But then Maddie said that you can turn it into fig jam. But like, well, okay. And then, which I guess is valid, but also different and undermines this point. So I'm going to ignore that point for now.
Okay.
But like, that you can't have all the things. You have to make choices. I can't be a marketer. I can't be a CMO girl boss.
Do you want to be?
No.
Well, there you go. Choice made.
Yeah. I did, though. For a period of time, I really believed that I did.
That you wanted to be that?
Yes, I looked gorgeous with my jeans rolled up, wearing APL shoes.
Well, I think we are used to telling ourselves, we tell ourselves stories in order to live. No, I think that we both.
Script notes, they literally say, without the lies you tell yourself, you would fall apart.
For sure.
You'd be delusional.
For sure.
No, we are delusional, but without the lies,
did you hear that
there's
one
nothing left.
Where they were talking about some drug that like...
Shows you the worst parts of yourself.
It like
Detova
strips,
or something?
It strips away like all your... ego, I guess, kind of. I think it's similar to like ayahuasca, where there's like this ego death kind of thing.
And then you see everything, how you really are.
I guess so.
And then it's like, you mean a 30-year-old unemployed gay person?
You're employed. I know.
I'm so glad I was here for this. Is signature required?
Signature, of course, required. Wait, no, I think you and I both probably, and I think a lot of queer people, like, you are used to... Like, throughout in our entire lives, we had to come up with some sort of story for who we were, you know, some version of ourselves that felt like, okay, well, this is who I am, because it wasn't true. Like,
yes.
We were living as inauthentic versions of ourselves for so long, or some, you know, not obviously it's not completely inauthentic or completely authentic at any point, but, like, I think the times in our lives where we, were like, had to pretend to be something else, you're just, like, kind of used to putting that, to coming up with that, you know?
No, I really do. And this, yeah, and this goes back to... First off, to live in a way where you're hiding something is so stressful.
Yeah.
And there is such constant peace from not having to do that,
mm-hmm.
that maybe we don't always consider or appreciate and be like, oh my God, we used to live every second was a lie. It was horrible. And then also, before we talked about that there were these, there's a roadblock. Mm-hmm. I don't know if roadblock's the right word. You said you were a train going and like, but
you don't know where it's going.
Yes. And my feeling
was
like,
but it's going forward and you like can't stop that from happening.
And I very much was like, this, one of these things is going to like come to a head, or it's like, you're going to have to be gay, or you're going to have to stop drinking, or you're going to, there's all these things that like have to like you're cruising for a bruising out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have to do that. We don't have that anymore in the same way. But what if the cruising for a bruising is having a real conversation with yourself about like, who are you as you age, as you become? I think that was what my Saturn return was supposed to be. There wasn't really a thesis to this.
No, that's okay. It's good. It's going for a wander. It's the wandering.
Well, I thought, you know, you want to know what you said to me one time, and this is actually off the pod because that's where the best work happens. You said, and so we can cut this if you don't like
it. It's true, boys.
But I was like, is Lexapro working for you? And you said, whether or not it's working, there's peace in knowing that I'm doing something
yeah.
to fix this thing that I decided was causing me trouble.
Yeah.
And so I even, like, when you said that, I was like, oh my God, how can I expect that I'm going to be a father or a married person or whatever if I just am the worst dater? And like, I'm not, and like that would, I don't know, just like things like that where you'd be like, actually, like, what do you want when you're 45? And like, maybe now the thing that's going to come, that's coming to a head is not so clear in the same way that it was when you're like an alcoholic or closeted, but like, it is like, oh, like having real conversations with yourself about like, are you building a life that you're going to love?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really easy to get comfortable with your discomfort and accept that as stasis and truth and what your life is and not even recognize that it's a problem. Like, I literally, like, I was having conversations with friends where I was describing what I was feeling like a couple months ago. And they were like, yeah, like, I felt that too before I got on SSRIs. And it was like, oh, fuck. I didn't even realize I was depressed. I thought I was just like, I've just always been like this.
Oh, my God.
And I just didn't know. You know,
I start a group chat of people in SSRIs.
It's literally our group chat.
I said that to someone, and that I was like, you know, we're the last,
the final two
survivors, yeah.
The survivors.
But I think that the person I said that to seems healthier than I do. So I feel like she's like, yeah, bye.
Yeah,
bidding me farewell as I get into my little rowboat on the way to the pharmacy.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's definitely like, I think I've always felt that way. That like, oftentimes. Again, like I said before, I'm avoidant of things that make me anxious. So I'll just like remain anxious and not deal with it. And I always feel better after I've dealt with it. So like, I think that was the truth for me for coming out and like a lot of things, big decisions I make. Even when I like broke up with people in the past, it's like, as soon as I know, I got to do it. I can't wait any longer. Because like the waiting makes me more anxious. And so I think like there's a piece for me in like that reveal to myself. Because I'm lying to myself for so long, and as soon as I can get right with myself, then I feel so much better.
Ugh, and that requires a lot of trust of yourself.
Yeah.
That you trust what you want, that you trust your instincts.
It's hard.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I don't think I trust my... Like, I said this too. Let a lot... I hate that I'm always talking about, like, this one guy and this other...
That's okay. It's...
I know, and I also always apologize for it, but I still will continue to... Like, I don't trust...
These are relatable stories. People date.
Okay. I don't trust my... If I'm, like, really bored by a really good guy, I don't trust that I'm right to be bored and that it's right to stop seeing whatever because
Let
I'm
me
like,
tell
this
you,
is a good person. Yeah.
You are right to be bored.
Yeah, I know. And
because
I'm
you can think somebody is a wonderful person with a lot of, like, incredible things going for them, somebody really smart, has like a really bright future, like all these wonderful things, and somebody maybe you would even want to be a friend with. But if you don't have the emotional, romantic, sexual spark with this person, they're just not for you to date.
I know. I'm trying to think of another example that's not dating where it's like the trust of it all is like, ugh.
Do you feel you trust yourself with like career decisions?
No. I think I go to like... I think a lot of times work is driven by anxiety.
Yeah.
And not, I always talk about like hunger cues because people always say, oh, sorry, this is the 30 I turned into camper. Well, I'm not sorry.
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. And we never tell you what it's for, but you can use context clues. Figure it out. But I think people are like hunger cues. Like you follow that. It's like, no, I've never even based off hunger cues. And I think that I live the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I work in a way that is, fully a productive thing, and because I feel like the moment that I stop, it all comes crashing down.
Sure.
And it's like, but actually the work is joyous, and what if you follow the joy of it all?
Yeah.
Like, don't go to an open mic, don't go to a show, don't write a thing because you're like, think that you're gonna come crashing down if you don't. We both have enough joy and passion and love for it that I think it would actually continue if we found a way to like listen to ourselves and gave ourselves like freedom to not.
Because I feel like I, sorry, this is so gay, but like if I...
It's okay.
And yeah, I mean in the pejorative way. No, I like...
But when you say it like that, it like could be like...
Fucking gay.
Oh, shit. Wait, someone's going to clip that out and they're going to fucking jerk off to it.
Somebody cast me as the worst man you've ever met. Okay. The no, what I was going to say is I feel like if I lived in like 200 BC...
We get a pilot button.
pilot. No, I think I would still want to be some version of a storyteller, writer, something. Like, I do think I really am naturally drawn to that stuff, and I always have been. Like, I like used to make movies with my, force my siblings to make movies that I was fully an author, like a total tyrant of a director, on like the iMovie and stuff, and we would make them with like our cousins and friends, and like,
wait, we used to do plays that I would kind of lead with the cousins, and I remember sometimes like the aunts would get involved and they would like kind of make directorial decisions, and I was like, just do your own play. Maybe do your own play.
Yeah, no, I was running that ship for sure, for sure. And we would make little videos and stuff. And then I was like, there was one that I even wrote. I wrote like a 15-page script for like a spy movie.
How old were you?
11 or 12, maybe. Oh. I would love to see that script. I have no idea what.
I wrote a spec script for Gilmore Girls in like sixth grade.
I love that. I wrote an office spec script when I was like maybe in high school or early college. I forget. Anyway.
We get staffed off.
We get staffed. So the... Anyway, I just feel like I always have wanted to do this, and I always would. So like, even if it is never something that's like makes a ton of money, I think it's something I would always want to be thinking about and doing.
Yes, but what I don't always want to do is go to an open mic at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday.
No.
And actually, don't, unless you want to.
Yeah.
Unless you're excited about a joke that you have or whatever. Like, I think. Slowly, because we are ultimately humans, unfortunately, and like we are gonna be 41, and it's just like, what is of us past our productivity, like when it's us and our creator,
yeah,
and not just our comedy.
Yeah, I mean, my recommendation for like people getting, we've talked about this before, we've said this so many times on the podcast, is like, if you want to make friends, if you want to be a comedian, if you want to be a writer, if you want to be anything, go do an open mic. Which I stand by that advice. I think it's literally where I met you. It's where I met everybody I know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for a lot of things. But I do also think there's like, we've talked about this before, where there's like this expectation on all of us to be like having to do something every day and like always choosing the hardest, most time-consuming, often fruitless way to do that, which is sometimes going to mics and like sitting there for 2 hours listening to some of the worst shit you've ever heard by some of the worst men you've ever met, so that for 5 minutes you can flail on stage and then go home and said you did something,
and it's usually a waste of time.
Yeah, and obviously like I think part of it is learning to build up your shield and spine, you know, so that you can stand in there and take the shittiest room in the world on,
yeah,
and like, because it's just a confidence thing, but like,
like I think talking on a microphone is a muscle that comes and goes actually really fast.
Yeah,
so like
when you haven't been on stage for a while, you can feel that.
Yeah, like I think like maybe like set a goal that's like, okay, I'm gonna be on stage once every 3 days, and like that's fine.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be every day. It's like it, but like maybe like finding a realistic thing, because for a while it's kind of like I'm kind of like anytime I have a moment of it's like, okay, I'm either gonna go to SoulCycle or I'm gonna go to an open mic. I don't know, maybe go to the park, maybe like yeah, go to God,
open up one of those books,
open up, yeah, I'm like literally like I'm almost 30, I'll be 30 like, in less than 5 years, and like I just I don't know.
Yeah, this is a big craft in the weeds episode.
This is script notes.
It would be kind of fun for us to do like an actual, we have no jurisdiction,
we do,
to be doing that on, but
wait. I don't have no. Not to be a beesh. There are people with less. Keep that.
True.
Whenever you think your voice doesn't matter, be like, well,
there's
people.
Well, there's people that... Okay, dog's going crazy.
Yeah, it's
in
not
here.
Safe here. I don't know what's scarier, the dog or the owner. If you met the owner, you'd be like, she... the window's
whenever
open,
you
scared
see,
of her.
Whenever you see an owner who has no control over their dog, that is one of the worst things.
It's like, so you guys go home together?
No, Connor and I saw a wolf of a dog. I mean, that was the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That was like a lion.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like a horse sitting down.
Sitting in McCarran
Park. Yeah.
Was that on Friday?
It was before we went to the movie, yeah.
I miss Friday.
Friday was the best day.
I miss Friday. I miss weekend.
I know.
I miss...
We're back to Tuesday.
Cheers to the
Boo.
Freaking weekend.
Cheers to the freaking weekend.
What if we were those people that just lived for the weekend? We worked for the weekend.
Well... That could be tough. I feel like that also, like, if you're just, like, these people that work all week, and then all weekend they're just, like, getting blitzed and starting.
Is blitzed fucked up?
Yeah. blitzed.
My mom one time, what's the blitz in World War II Europe?
Blitzkrieg.
What is that?
That was, I think, a German battle strategy where they basically just like bum rushed with tanks and like over air weapons. Over air weapons, plane weapons. I don't know.
This story's not even gonna make any sense. But one time, my mom was just like, "Yeah, the British were a little blitzed."
Did you think we were gonna talk about Blitzkrieg today, boys?
And I thought that she meant because of the war, they were just like a little desensitized, so they're always kind of like. But it was like a very specific thing she was referencing.
I think blitzed is drunk.
Oh,
getting fucked up. I think
getting
I don't know.
Fucked. Getting screwed. Getting screwed in the ass by vodka. Remember when girls were doing that in college?
Tampons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't go in your butt. Just FYI. It could for you.
I'm telling you guys. And I bet it could go in your butt. Actually, I think it could.
I'm sure it could.
Boys do put it in their butt. I'll send you a video.
Boys put tampons in their butts?
I swear to God, across my heart.
Of vodka?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, I'm here to teach you about frat culture.
So now I always wondered, because I never participated in such a thing, but are you familiar with a tampon?
Actually, no.
Have you ever seen one?
I've seen them.
Okay. So they come in this little applicator. Okay. So there's like the cotton part, and then there's a plastic part on the outside. Sometimes it's cardboard. Those are horrible. There's a plastic part on the outside, and so you put the plastic, the whole thing in you, and then there's like this little push thing, so then it pushes the, that's how you insert it. So you put the whole thing in.
I feel like a lot could go wrong.
No, it's actually really easy. You put the whole thing in, and then you press, squeeze it, and push it up. So it's almost like a push pop.
My reaction is not problematic. I don't like anything that has to do with blood.
Okay.
So maybe it is problematic.
It's natural and it's beautiful. Okay. So anyway, my point.
I don't like anal either. So I think I'm being fair right now.
Are you understanding what I'm describing to you?
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm confused. Do they take it out, put it in vodka, and then stick that up? Because that would be really tough. Because once it gets absorbed, once it reaches any liquid, it expands.
Oh my God.
To fill. So like it would not really very nicely go up there anymore.
I don't know. Boys are
or,
so crazy.
Are well, these are women too that are doing this.
Oh yeah.
Or are they dunking the whole applicator into vodka and then putting it up so that it gets through that? Because there's like the applicator's not like sealed.
Also, no offense, Jesus drank wine. What's wrong? Just the normal application, the normal kind of the coming. The
Christ drank wine and you should too.
Just drinking it down.
We should make
the throat.
A sign.
Was that not enough for everyone?
Yeah, I don't really know. I guess it gets you fucked up faster.
You got somewhere to be? Like,
listen, when you're 18. You got to get drunk, and you got to get drunk yesterday. That's the rules.
I remember you were just drinking and forgot.
My mom. Oh. I was just talking to my mom the other day when I saw her, and we were talking about we were talking about college stuff for some reason. We were talking about one time she came to like a pregame at my apartment when I was a senior, and she was like, "I just remember that one girl drinking from that little water bottle. I think it was just vodka," and I just thought, "Wow."
Wait, do you get fucked up with your parents?
No. We've never gotten, like, fucked up, but we've done, like, you know, hard drugs. No, I'm just kidding. We've done, like, I don't know. We always get, like, a bottle of wine at dinner now that everybody's of age. So, like, we'll do that.
Have you seen them drunk?
I mean, not, like, throwing up plastered or anything, but, like, I've definitely seen them, like, a little bit looser than they usually are. I didn't grow up in a house where they did not drink a lot when I was a kid.
Huh.
So I, like, didn't really see them drinking much when I was a kid.
Why?
Do your parents drink?
They don't drink a ton.
Yeah.
They do drink. Because whenever I'm like, I feel forgotten, I want to be like, I'm an alcoholic and everybody's drinking in this house. There's just alcohol everywhere. It feels crazy.
Drama.
I just think like as an alcoholic member of the family, I could ask for more.
Sure.
Is it so wrong to say your eighth sober birthday is the Cartier birthday? Is that so crazy? Still jury's out on how that's going
to
go.
Like you're saying that's the stone they're supposed to get you?
My mom texted me today. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be bratty because I am 30 almost. But like she was like, have you decided what you want for your birthday? And it's like, you guys don't know how you're making my birthday special yet?
Wow.
That's crazy. You're supposed to decide this already.
They should know.
I was like, what do you mean? Have you decided what I'm getting? You're supposed to decide.
Wow.
Until I'm married, you're supposed to decide.
You felt seen and unheard.
I don't know.
Unseen and unheard. Unknowable.
I want a beautiful chain that will be perfect. And okay. I want to sit around my collarbone in the most perfect way. And I want it to be beautiful.
What if they sent you money to buy that? Would you like that better?
Yes, actually.
I feel like you like to get your own stuff.
Yeah, I've never liked something someone else got other than you more than what I would have picked myself.
But that's because I know to get you something small and something fun.
Because I know you don't like gifts. Like getting like a dramatic present where you're like,
Yeah.
It's good that we're feeding the economy.
Okay, we got to go because I got to go to work.
Okay, capitalism strikes again.
Strikes again.
Was this a bad episode?
No, this is just our unplugged acoustic version. It's Connor's birthday. Give us a goddamn break.
It's my fucking birthday.
And listen, we put out 105 episodes for free. So cut us some slack, huh? Cut us some slack. You don't have an off day at the office? I don't even think this was a bad episode. I just think we were looser. We both have our feet way up right now.
Yeah.
Toes to the wind. You have a show on May 12th.
Do you feel like I keep doing them after you? It's not on purpose. It did occur to me. I was like,
we're bi-coastal. I won't be back, unfortunately, for it. I'm not coming back till the 13th.
Don't.
Well, I would if I was here, but I won't be here, unfortunately. Don't. But you have a show on May 12th at Come On Everybody.
And you have a show May 3rd at Pittsburgh.
Well, it'll already be gone by the time. It'll already be over by. I will have already had a show.
That's
thank you.
Soon?
Thank you, Pittsburgh. It's Friday.
Oh my God. How's...
No, I literally zero idea.
No one responds to your emails.
I haven't asked. I kind of, it's a kind of a don't ask,
respect,
don't tell situation.
Respect.
I'm just going to show
totally
up and see.
Totally respect.
I would just rather not know until we get there. Because I get the everyday updates from the Elysian and I'm like,
what's okay. Your, how many more do you need to sell?
You know, a lot.
I'll make a call.
Thanks. Okay. So yeah, I already plugged this earlier in the episode, but boys, if you're in Los Angeles, please come. Would love to see you. I know there's a lot going on that week. So I think tickets are pretty spread pretty thin across a lot of people, but I would love to see anybody there. If you can't afford tickets, because I know
wait,
they're
not
a little
expensive.
Wait,
not to be a dickwad. This is an hour of classic stand-up. It is interesting. It's funny. It's storytelling. It's clear setup punchline.
You.
It's very well assembled. It has been vetted. It is, you are seeing a very finished product. I'm not trying to be a dickwad, but I just do. And I would love to be part of the Netflix as a joke festival. And but I will say, it seems like the barn door is pretty wide open. And this is an opportunity to really see like a vetted, like there's is a good show.
Thank you.
Swinging at the wind. Every day I get on and I'm like, they're adding. Okay, we're adding. Okay.
Yes, it's a broad festival, but I would hope that you could come see me and also, you know, it's.
But don't try to talk to him.
Do not talk. No.
And if you touch him, he will.
Connor will evaporate in thin air, and
there's
he'll
an armed
get you.
Guard.
Yeah. But what was it? Oh, if you can't afford tickets, I know they're a little expensive. Not my fault. Didn't set the ticket price. Please DM me, and I will see what I can do to get you there. If you really want to come and you can't afford it,
we start a foundation.
Please let me know. Okay. Love you, Connor. Happy birthday.
Bye, America.
What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is Panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.